Paul understood his calling as a minister was for the body of Christ. He says, of this church, I was made a minister. He didn't say of the world. He didn't say of the parachurch organization, I was made a minister.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we continue our look at what authentic ministry looks like from the book of Colossians.
Yes, Dave, and today we're going to continue our look at what an authentic minister looks like. So turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 24 and 25.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He was on his way, putting his hand up for the death of Christians, persecuting them, and Jesus intervened and saved him. And he says, I've appeared to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Jesus is telling him where he's going. God's word tells us how we're to minister. Jesus is telling him very specifically. We don't have a choice to disobey that. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. This is how Paul became a minister. That's how he became a minister. He got saved, and God called him specifically unto that. Specifically. Now, we see Paul's entrance obviously was a sovereign choice of God, not of Paul's. Now, obviously, when we get saved, God gives us desires in which the gifting we've had, and sometimes we can feel as though we're choosing it, but really, God gave us that desire, and we're going that direction, okay? We understand that. I'm going to parse words here. But we see the question really is whether we're going to obey the Lord or not in how he's gifted us. We're going to see that everyone's been given spiritual gifts. There are some who have been gifted as ministers. There are some who have been gifted as teachers and preachers. And the question is not, did you choose to do it? The question is, will you obey the Lord? Will you obey the Lord? Now, we'll talk about the idea of compulsion and willingness later in a minute. So, God, by his Spirit, appoints people in positions that he desires, and he gifts them for such. God does that. Isn't this what Paul said multiple times? Let me share some passages. He says here, 1 Corinthians 2:28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. God appointed it. God gave that gifting. 1 Timothy 2:7, this is what Paul tells Timothy. And for this reason, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. He knew he was appointed. God appointed him to do it. 2 Timothy 1:10. This is speaking of Christ who gave himself a ransom and that now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, 2 Timothy 1:10, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed, Paul says, a preacher and an apostle teacher. Now, I believe these terms being appointed or made, in a sense, is why the NASB translated it made. But back in our passage, it's became. I became a minister. I came into existence, in a sense, as a minister. And that happened, we know, when Paul was saved. You see, we see in 1 Corinthians 12 that God, by his Spirit, gives different giftings according to his will, not ours. Same thing in the human sphere. When we were born, we didn't say, Lord, I'd really like to be a really good piano player. Can you give me that skill? Oh, I'd really like to be good at computers. Can you do that? Oh, I'd like to be good mechanically speaking. God did without our say-so. He made every human being have different skills and abilities. And with the body of Christ, when we were born again, we were given spiritual gifts, but we don't tell him what we want. He tells us through his word what he has done. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now, Paul is correcting the Corinthians who are all messed up. They're actually getting into idolatry with spiritual gifts. He reproves them. He says, hey, you know, before you were saved, you were led, but you were led by a dumb idol. He talks about that, you know, stuff like that. And then he goes on to reprove them. Now, his reproving them is basically saying what you think is spiritual isn't spiritual, because it's all mixed up and divided up. Here's the reality. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries, that's our word, servings. A variety of servings. And the same Lord. And there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Remember that. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, another word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one just as he wills. You do not choose to be a minister. God chooses you to do what he wants you to do. He chooses you. Paul was not wanting to be a minister in the church. He was wanting to kill people in the church. And God saved him and chose him and made him become a minister. Now, we all have received gifts. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We each have been given different giftings. So then, Paul understood that God made him the minister. God did it. He knew that God had thus gifted him as such also. You see, if God makes you something, he's going to give you the ability by his grace to do it. These are grace gifts. He understood that. Again, let's take a look at the parallel passage that we read during our offertory time, Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if you have indeed heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given me for you. Okay, got that right? Go to verse 7. The gospel, it says, of which I was made a minister, or the same word actually became a minister there. That's actually what it is. According to what? The gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. God gifted him by his grace to be a minister. That's what he's saying. By his power. To the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Grace was given. God gives us gifts by his grace. And it's by his grace we function. So Paul understood that. And God called the apostle Paul into ministry by his power and grace and gifted him as such. The apostle Paul understood and obeyed. And he also knew there was, as we'll see, a stewardship, which means responsibility and an accounting. Now that means that, you know, you probably better do it, right? And he's going to say, hey, I'm under compulsion. But he's going to say, but if I do it willingly, I get a reward. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You see, you might know God's gift and you go, I've got to do it. And you may be under compulsion. And yes, you better do it. But how much better is it if you do it willingly? There's a great reward for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of because I'm under compulsion. He's like, I have to. God made me a minister to preach the gospel, and I better do it. So how can I boast in that? He says, for woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. I'm in deep trouble. For if I do this voluntarily, now look at this, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. You see, we have a stewardship, those who are called to preach and teach. And everyone has a stewardship of the gifting that God's given. Now, you can do it out of compulsion, or you can serve him willingly and be rewarded. Okay, so then, Paul had a stewardship, and every one of us does. And we are compelled to obey God, but yet, if we do it voluntarily, we're going to have great joy. So then, let me ask you this. Do you know how God has gifted you? Has he gifted you to preach and teach to minister? We all know we've been given gifts. And I believe if sin is not in the way,
If we're walking by the Spirit, we're going to know how God has gifted us. The Bible shares 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4 shares. There are speaking and serving gifts. And I believe we're going to understand, we're going to have a desire in that. We're going to understand how God has gifted us. The question is, will we be obedient and serve Him willingly? Now, if sin's in the way, you're not going to know how God's gifted you. Sin's in the way, you're not going to know. But if you're walking in the Spirit, He's going to work through you. He's going to enable you to serve Him. So true ministers understand that God has gifted them. It is totally the Lord that God has called them, and they are under compulsion, but yet they do it willingly and voluntarily, as we see, for the reward, those who are abiding in Christ. So then we think of biblical ministry. First of all, it consists of those who have been called to minister, and they know it, and they're obedient to it. There aren't people who just decided, hey, I'm going to go be a pastor. Hey, a pastor said, you make a good pastor, why don't you do that? Oh, sounds good, I'll do it. I look at some of these churches, and they got 50 pastors. I'm like, man, that's a lot of pastors. It's hard to find people that have certain giftings. How'd they find these people? You know? Well, the reality is, God is the one who makes us what we are, who calls us to how He wants us to serve Him and each other. Authentic ministers understand who made them servants. Okay? Then there's no room to boast. There's no pride because it's all God's grace. Okay, now let me make one more global observation of our passage, then we'll get to the two specifics and finish up. Notice God's ministers serve the body of Christ. This is how you can spot the right ones. Verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, that's the Colossians, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of His body, which is the church, that's the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed for me for your benefit, I'm emphasizing those words, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Did you notice those two little phrases, on behalf of His body? Middle of 24, and for your benefit, middle of 25. Paul understood his calling as a minister was for the body of Christ. He says, of this church, I was made a minister. He didn't say of the world. He didn't say of the parachurch organization, I was made a minister. He said, of this church, I was made a minister, made a servant for your benefit. Now, we saw earlier in our study what the church was. It's the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18, He is also the head of the body of the church. Christ is the head. We are the body of Christ. It's like the example of our physical body is an example of the spiritual body. Christ is the head. We are the parts. So He directs all the parts to do what they're supposed to do. My hand does certain things that my feet don't do. My eyes do certain things my mouth does not do. Different pieces do different parts, but all at the direction and submission to the head. The same thing in the body of Christ. We have different giftings, but Christ is the head. Now, the term church means called out ones. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And it is His church which He bought with His own blood, Acts chapter 20. And we know that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. We are the body of Christ. We are His body, the body of Christ. Paul makes that clear in our passage. It says, His body which is the church. Paul makes this clear also in Ephesians 1:23. He says, all things to the church which is His body. Christ's body. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. So the church is the body of Christ, and God has not left us out in the dark concerning that. So how did we become part of the body of Christ? When we believed in Jesus Christ by faith, we were placed into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. We were placed into one body. We're made to drink of one Spirit. And it is by faith that this happened. Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus, clothed yourself with Christ. The term baptized means to be placed into, identified with.
And when we do a water baptism, we're doing an outward symbol of what happened spiritually, what happened inwardly. We were placed into the body of Christ. We were dead and raised to newness of life. We were cleansed of our sins through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we were united to Christ. The church is a living organism. It is the body of Christ. It is believers. He says, I was made a minister for his body, for the church. God's ministers minister to the body of Christ. They don't minister to non-believers. If you have a minister that's spending their time ministering to non-believers in the church, they are not God's ministers. We share the gospel if perhaps a non-believer comes in. We get built up in here and we go into the world. We are the light of the, inside the church? No, the light of the world. So biblical ministry is done by ministers called and gifted by God who do ministry in the sphere of the church. So if you want to know if your pastor, your ministers are biblical, they need to be doing those things, right? Ministering the word of God to the body of Christ. If they're not ministering the word of God to the body of Christ, they're not God's men. If they're God's women, they shouldn't be teaching men, right? They should be teaching women, right? Okay. So then we've seen that biblical ministry consists of God's ministers who've been called and gifted by him. Secondly, they minister to the church. And now notice Paul begins to share his attitude. You know, the ones that are the Lord's and are following the Lord have the right attitude, because if you serve Jesus, you're going to suffer. If you obey Jesus in some sphere, you're going to suffer. The reality is, if you want people to like you, then you need to go into the world and be worldly. The world is not going to like you. They didn't like Christ. They crucified him. Okay? The reality is, serving Christ brings suffering that is meant for Christ. And that is an evidence of someone actually being God's minister when they are suffering with the suffering that is meant for Jesus. That means they are functioning rightly in the body of Christ. Take a look at what Paul says here. Verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. That's kind of a convoluted statement there. There's a lot of different translations, but hopefully we'll gain some understanding. He says, right now, verse 24, I rejoice in my sufferings. Okay, wow. The term sufferings is plural. It's not just suffering. He's got plural sufferings. And he rejoices in that. And he says, I rejoice in my sufferings, notice this, for your sake. You see, when you obey God and preach his word to his people, you're going to suffer. And the suffering is for your sake. Because I'm preaching to you, I'm going to suffer. Because I'm preaching, I'm going to suffer for your sake. And when we obey the Lord and the spheres he has called us to, we're going to suffer for the sake of how he has gifted us in that context as we obey the Lord Jesus. So he says, I rejoice your sufferings for your sake. Now, what were his sufferings? Well, right at this point, he was in prison. He was in prison. Colossians chapter 4, Paul says, verse 10, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, he's in prison. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for your sake. Ephesians chapter 3, 13, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. We know from 2 Corinthians 11, he gives a list of those things which show him to be genuine. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, 23, you can turn there, because you could translate this term minister also. It's servants, but it's minister, diakonos. 1 Corinthians 11, 23, speaking of the false apostles, he says, are they ministers? Are they servants of Christ? He says, I speak as if insane. No, they're not. I more so in far more labors, far more imprisonments, beaten times without numbers, often in danger of death. And he goes, gives a list of all this stuff that he was suffering. And he suffered it because he was obeying Jesus, preaching his word for the sake of the body of Christ. You see, it's important that I preach the word to you for your sake, that you will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. If I don't do that, woe is me. Now, how you respond to that is different. But the reality is, Paul says, I rejoice in my suffering for the body. we know that it's not just the super saints like Paul that suffer, right? We have in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, indeed all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. People are going to persecute you. They're going to say all kinds of things falsely. They're going to mock you, whatever it is, when you do what's right. The world hates Jesus. And that's exactly what the Lord mentioned in John 15. John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love its own. It's a false teacher. He says here, but because you are not of this world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours also. When you obey Jesus Christ, there's going to be temporal sufferings. Yep, we don't like it, but we're going to see Paul had the right attitude because he understood what God was doing through that. We know from Philippians chapter 1 that it has been granted to us for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict with you saw in me and now here to be in me. Don't expect the world to love you. Don't compromise so that they will love you. Obey the Lord and walk rightly before him. And yes, the world may treat you badly, but maybe God might even use that to say that. You can see that in 1 Peter 3. So then, if you desire to follow the Lord, you're going to suffer temporarily. You're going to be persecuted. We see that. Paul understood this, but yet he rejoiced. How could he rejoice? How could he be sitting in a prison cell rejoicing? How could this be? Now, I need to mention one thing here, and I would be remiss if I didn't. This is a verse that the Catholic Church takes out of context to speak of suffering, that Christ's suffering isn't done, that we participate in that and fill up in it, and we can get merit from that for salvation. Well, this is heretical, and I'll tell you why in a second. Okay, just so you know, he says in verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. That's what they take and twist. Now you're going, I do not understand this. Don't worry, we're going to walk through it really quickly. They believe that this verse signifies that the church, being his body, shares in the meritorious or redemptive sufferings. That when they suffer, then they help somehow in redemption. You know, they're all works, right? Well, we know we're saved by grace, not through works, right? But we know from Scripture that we cannot accept this interpretation. No believer can accept this. Because we know that Christ's meritorious suffering, the suffering for our sins, was accomplished on the cross. It is finished. He didn't say, it's not all done, you're going to have to fill up on it a little later. You can fill it up and get me all the way there. That's not what he says. He says, it is finished. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we see that he, offering the body once for all, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. Jesus died for our sins, done deal, it's done. So what is he talking about this here? What Paul is saying, I believe, is he is saying these afflictions, he doesn't say sufferings there, he says, I'm suffering, but it's I'm filling up Christ's afflictions. In Scripture, you will never see the term affliction used to speak of meritorious redemptive suffering. It always speaks of temporal pressure affliction.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you made one point abundantly clear today, that God's ministers serve the body of Christ.
Yes, I did, Dave. And it's so obvious from Scripture, yet it is so ignored in churches these days. There are so many churches who are leaning on their own understanding on how to win people to Christ rather than obeying the Word of God and functioning in obedience under the head, Jesus Christ. Well, we have so much more to glean in our study of Colossians concerning authentic ministry. So make plans to join us for our next broadcast.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.